This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 7th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at who's monitoring the water quality of our local streams. We get a report on government agencies that sometimes don't look at waterways for years. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Roland Burris has gone back to the Illinois Supreme Court after the U.S. Senate refused his appointment and turned him away. Burris asked the state's high court yesterday to act quickly to order Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White to certify Burris's appointment by embattled Governor Rob Blagojevich. The Senate said Burris's paperwork for the appointment was incomplete and without being certified by White. White has said he won't certify any appointment by Blagojevich after the governor's arrest last month on federal corruption charges. Burris's appointment is not related to the criminal case against Blagojevich. The Illinois Attorney General's office represents White and plans to reply to Burris's filings today. Well, Burris's paperwork was rejected at yesterday's opening of the 111th Congress. He's scheduled to meet today with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and Assistant Leader Dick Durbin of Illinois. Knowledgeable Senate officials in both parties say the saga is expected to end with Burris being seated. The officials spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly for Senate members. The likelihood that Burris, a Democrat, will eventually prevail increased yesterday after Senator Dianne Feinstein, who chairs the Senate Rules Committee, told reporters Burris should be seated. And Burris has sent state lawmakers a formal affidavit that says there was nothing improper about his U.S. Senate appointment, as Sean Crawford reports.
Burris will appear Thursday afternoon before an Illinois House panel investigating the impeachment of the governor. But Burris already sent a statement to the committee indicating he had limited contact with Governor Rod Blagojevich prior to being selected to fill the Senate vacancy. Blagojevich faces federal charges that include trying to sell the Senate appointment. The governor denies any wrongdoing. Burris says he was first called by one of Blagojevich's attorneys to gauge interest in the seat. Burris says after a couple of days, he decided he'd accept the offer. Blagojevich then personally called him, but Burris says all that was discussed was Burris's public service record and the planning of a news conference. Burris maintains his appointment is legal and that he should be allowed to take his seat in Washington. The state impeachment panel could make a recommendation to the full House this week. If the House decides to draft articles of impeachment, the state Senate would hold a trial, although it could be next month before that would wrap up. I'm Sean Crawford.
A drunk driving arrest has ended the 11-year career of a Champaign police detective. Chief R.T. Finney says Detective Lisa Staples turned in her resignation more than a month after she was stopped going the wrong way on an interstate driving. A police department vehicle. Staples agreed last month to a sentence of 18 months court supervision and a $750 fine for the incident in eastern Piatt County. Finney says an investigation into the drunk driving and the off-duty use of a police vehicle would have left him with few options had Staples not resigned.
It's an unfortunate, significant error on her part. However, you know, after reviewing the case, I think her making the choice to resign was probably in the best interest of all of us.
Staples' sentence attracted criticism from some who believe her status as a police officer resulted in court supervision instead of a harsher sentence. The University of Illinois is putting on hold plans to build a new basketball arena or refurbish the assembly hall. U of I spokesman Kent Brown says athletic director Ron Gunther decided to indefinitely delay the project because of the economy. Illinois wrapped up $121 million of work at nearby Memorial Stadium last year. Brown says no dollar figure had been publicly discussed for the assembly hall project, but he says it would certainly have cost more. The U of I planned to use private funding for the work, but Brown says announcing a big new project as the university prepares to cut spending elsewhere wouldn't have been wise. Illinois' current economic struggles are on track to eclipse the last two recessions if a University of Illinois economist's predictions hold true. Fred Gertz says Federal Reserve Board members now expect the economy to stay down through much of this year, and his monthly flash index shows only the beginning of the downturn in the state.
They're even talking about now a long-term kind of stagnation that we might follow this, something like akin to what happened in Japan in the 1990s. So, again, we might be pleasantly surprised and things will bounce back really quickly, but it doesn't seem that way right now.
Gertz's U of I Flash Index has been published for 14 years, but it's been calculated back as far as the early 1980s using state tax revenue statistics. He says the current reading of 98.7 is the first time in 4 years the index has registered economic contraction, but he says it was as low as 86 in the depths of the 80s recession. Plans to reopen a fire-damaged area in downtown Champaign have hit a snag over an insurer's desire to seek a cause for the blaze. The November 7th fire destroyed the Metropolitan Building and heavily damaged an adjoining law firm. A portion of Neal Street has since been closed to traffic, and the two properties were later condemned by the city. Any efforts to find cause for the fire were then abandoned, citing safety concerns. One of the law building's owners says everyone involved in this situation has wanted to sign off on a plan for demolition, but attorney Richard Joy says a letter he just received from State Auto Insurance representing the Metropolitan Building's owners has brought plans to a halt.
State Auto apparently wasn't up to speed with any of this. They're not entirely sure what they're going to do next or how they're going to think about it or when they're going to decide what they want to do, but they have asked us to not demolish our building until they figure out what they feel like doing.
Joy says it's frustrating it would take State Auto several weeks before exploring this option. Given the large financial losses faced by owners, he understands why State Auto would want to investigate a cause with hopes it could bring a claim against a subcontractor or someone else responsible. But Joy contends that any evidence would have been too badly burned. Any investigation of the area would also require the city's permission. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Most of us assume the government is keeping track of environmental issues such as pollution and water. In reality, most pollution problems are first detected by citizens. Lester Graham reports in some parts of the nation, volunteers step in to make sure their local streams and lakes are clean.
Rochelle Breitenbuck and Mary Badges are trudging through the snow, winding their way through a thicket to find a small creek. It's 14 degrees above zero, and they plan to go wading. They're lugging in a fine mesh net, some hip boots, and an orange 5-gallon bucket of trays and specimen jars. Breitenbuck says they're headed for a pristine creek that eventually becomes a river, the Huron River in southeast Michigan.
One thing about this spot is it's at that really close to the headwaters of the Huron River, so it's a really good indicator of what they're going to find downstream, too.
They're just one team of many that take samples up and down the river. They're looking for a certain kind of bug, stonefly larva. Stoneflies are good fish food, and they are very susceptible to pollution. They're considered an indicator species. If stoneflies are there and healthy, it's a good indication the stream is healthy.
Their food source is on the decomposing leaves, so that's where you find them. And then we'll kind of sort through the leaf packs and then look for stoneflies.
Breitenbach cautiously makes her way down the bank, across the ice, and into the water. She's taking her first sample in this open water. Badges steps out onto the ice, holding a plastic tray so Breitenbach can empty the net's contents into the tray. But the ice can't take the weight.
You okay?
Luckily, Badges didn't fall into the water. In these temperatures, that would have been bad. They scramble on up the snowy bank and start sorting through the debris in the trays to find stonefly larvae. Stoneflies have two tails. Mayflies have three tails, so they're squinting to see what they've got.
Oh, look, that's a mayfly. Three.
Yeah, see all the tails?
Yeah.
Now look at the size of that one.
Look at that. That's two. That's got two. See?
Yep.
That's
why we love this site.
Once they find one, they drop the bug into a jar of alcohol. After the thrill of finding the stoneflies, they hate to kill them, but they have to preserve the samples for biologists.
The whole jar goes back, and then Joe goes through and identifies everything.
Joe is Joe Lattimore. She's the Huron River Watershed Council's ecologist. She says without the volunteers' efforts all along the river, they'd never be able to monitor this river system as well. Lattimore says the end result of volunteer surveys like this one is a steady monitoring program that fills in the blanks left by government agencies that can't do the work.
The agencies that do have the responsibility for checking the quality of our water bodies really have very limited budgets, very limited staff. For example, in Michigan, the professional biologist from the DEQ can only get to a particular watershed every 5 years. And to really be able to stay on top of the conditions in a stream, you need to monitor more often than that.
Volunteer watershed organizations all across the nation assist government agencies in monitoring streams and lakes. But in many parts of the nation, there are no volunteer agencies. The water quality is rarely checked, and the only time anyone realizes there's a problem is when there's a huge fish kill or another pollution problem that gets the attention of people who live nearby or people who fish the streams. And nearly everyone agrees that's not a very good way to keep water clean. For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region, cloudy with scattered flurries today, the high around 30. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries possible, the low around 18, partly sunny tomorrow, the high around 28, partly cloudy Thursday evening, the low around 17, partly sunny Friday with a high around 40 and winds up to 20 miles per hour, mostly cloudy Friday evening, a chance of rain that night, and then a chance of snow or rain after midnight, the low around 28, colder Saturday, partly sunny with near steady temperatures around 28 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, January 7th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.